Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
How are you this Sabbath?
Blessed.
I'm happy to hear that because I'm double blessed. Praise the Lord. And I'm so glad to see you. I see Avida. Avida, will you raise your hand so that everybody acknowledges you? There is Avida. Avida is actually an international student that came from abroad, and he's actually studying English, and he's doing very well. So please, during fellowship, just reach out to him so that he could practice his English with you. Amen? But at the same time, Avida is praying to the Lord because his program, or I think he's about to graduate in I think it's in a month or so. That means that he either has to decide to go back to his country or continue studying here. But with that, there is a lot of challenges, because in the program that he came with, they provided a place to stay. Now he wants to pursue a career. He wants to go to the ANSA College, I believe. But he is praying to the Lord, for the Lord will provide a place for him to stay. So if it is within you to keep him in prayers, or if you know, or even yourself, if you have a place for him so that he could stay, please, just approach him and talk to him. He will greatly appreciate that. And we're praying for that, Avida, that wherever God wants you to be, he will lead the way and he will open the door for you. Amen? There's a lot of things that are going to that are coming for us. And that when I said a lot of things coming, that means new things. And that is a blessing too. Amen? It is a blessing. Next Saturday, you don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss next Saturday, because we're going to have the Mountain View Academy. They're going to be leading the divine worship. They're going to have that instrumental and music choral. They're going to be here. Amen? So how many of you love to worship? How many of you love praises? So you don't want to miss next Saturday. They are going to be here with us. And the following Saturday, I already mentioned to you what's going to happen, especially in the afternoon. We're going to have the discipleship and community training. We're going to have all the local pastors gather here with us. How many of you say amen? And with them, some of the leaders from their churches that are eager and willing to receive training to get the tools, what is necessary to be able to do ministry. Amen? And I think all of us need it, right? So please, I'm praying that all of you will be here. It's beginning in the Saturday, that is actually March 17th, but especially in the afternoon, because we're hosting this. And we need you all, especially to be able to host everyone, and including all the local pastors that are going to be here. Ivor Meyer is going to be here. Antonio Cano is going to be here. Dennis Tello, and many others are going to be here. So please, you don't want to miss this. So mark in your calendar, March 17. Another thing that we're having that is coming is, as you know, with all this turmoil that is happening around our nation about sexual harassment and all these things. So I have reached out to Dr. Pierre Stenberg. So he's going to be with us on March 14. So that's another thing that you don't want to miss. Okay? Actually, April 14. April 14. Thank you for correcting me. April 14. He's going to be here. Beginning, I already spoke with the Sabbath School Superintendent, and he's going to have that seminar, Coping with Abuse. So please, mark your calendar. This is something that is very important. And if you know people, if you know friends, if you know neighbors or even relatives that you have that may benefit from this, hey, this is a good way for you to actually bring them to church. This will be actually a great way. So mark your calendars for April 14. Beginning at 9:30 a.m., we'll have that seminar. And then Dr. Pierre Stimber is going to share the sermon with us that Saturday morning. Last week, we ended our 30 days of prayer. And for those that were able to partner with someone to pray, you know, I thank the Lord, because last week when we were here at prayer meeting, some of you and a lot of you were able to share what God has done during those 30 days of prayer. Is it important prayer? Yes, it is. It is very important to pray. And a lot of you have experienced, you know, that importance of prayer. So I was going to ask a few of you to share, you know, some of that, some of that answers to those prayers, because God has done amazing things. But there is a week of prayer that is coming at the end, the last week of this month. So we are asking all of you, especially those that are already have a partner to pray with, to stay after the service. Before we go to potluck, please stay, remain in your seat. We want to give you instructions of how the week of prayer is going to be. And for those who have not participated or do not have a prayer partner, you could also remain and you could stay so that we could partner you with someone, because we want to do this through the whole year. And especially my prayer is that we will continue praying with our partners until Jesus returns. We need to be held accountable, right? And what a way to have someone that will hold us accountable, especially in a daily devotional and prayer with the Lord. So that is something amazing and important that we could do in our lives. So please stay with us at the end of this service, and we will give you instructions of how that week of prayer is going to go. Another thing is, any of you remember what happened last Sunday? Any of you remember? See, I would like to encourage you also to visit our website. That's why we have it, to keep you informed. And so that you could share that with others too, right? So, SanJoseCentralSDA.org, okay? There's a calendar there that we have for what activities, what goes on in our church. So last Sunday, we had Work B. Now you remember? Now you remember, right? It's now that you remember, but you didn't remember Sunday. So I praise God, because I was motivated. I came, you know, ready, you know, to do some work. And I praise God that at least I saw one. That was Michael Manivan. And with Michael Manivan and myself, guess what? We did all the work for you. How many of you say amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. As Michael was mowing the lawn or the grass, you know, I was being what I was doing. Trimming all the bushes around, okay? I felt like one of those warriors with that gardening saw. I don't know how you call it, but I mean, I felt very powerful with that thing. So, and if you see some of those bushes in front crooked, come on, please, give me a break. You know, that was my first time trying that. So, and we clean all around and everything. But there's a lot of more work to do, and we need you. And please mark your calendars. The last, or the last Sunday, or is it the fourth Sunday of the month, because sometimes we have like fifth, you know, Sundays. So the fourth Sundays of the month is work bee. We need you. We need all of you to be able to keep, okay, this place suitable and worthy of the Lord. Amen? So mark your calendars. As a matter of fact, how many of you have cell phones? You know, all of us carry a cell phone, right, these days? And our cell phones are what we call like smartphones. You know, they're smarter than us. I don't know if that's what they call it for, because our phones knows everything, right? We could go in our phone and we'll find almost everything now these days. So I'm pretty sure all of you carry a smartphone. So I will actually ask our communication ministry to, in a way, show us, and I know I already spoke with Barbara, who lead this ministry, and I said, how can we keep our people, our congregation informed? You know, I send messages through emails, but I know most of you might not have a computer or might not have internet, but a lot of you have a cell phone, right? So we were just trying to figure it out. How can we keep everyone informed? What's going on? What's happening? What's coming? What events? What activities? What program? And we're just thinking that maybe if everybody carries, or if everybody have a smartphone, maybe it will be good for everyone to download an app, okay, so that we could send a massive message to everyone. And one that came to our mind was, what's up? So what's up? I don't know what that, you know, why they call it that, but I guess it means like, you know, to find out what's going on or something like that. So any of you is familiar with what's up? It's an app that that you could download it to your cell phone or smartphone. If not, maybe we'll ask our communication department to take note, and maybe they could show us one Saturday how can we download that, so that way all of you are going to be able, we're going to create a group, you know, a whole congregation, you know, everybody, every member, and even visitors that normally attend, so that way we'll be sending messages, and everything that is going to be related in that group is only has to do with church. Amen? So we're probably going to do that, so that way everybody knows what's going on and we don't miss out all the things and blessings that God has for all of us. The month of January, that month of emphasis was commitment, right? Do you remember? Last month, February, what was our emphasis? Friendship. Now, the month of March, our emphasis is going to be devotion. Do we need devotion in our life? Do we? Do we need to be devoted in our life? In what way? And that's what our emphasis is going to be during the month of March. So, our sermon for today is titled, A Life Dedicated to God. If I am to ask you, if you were to decide to whom or to who you want to dedicate your life to, what will your answer be? What will your answer be? Maybe for the husband will be the wife, right? Maybe for the wife will be the husband. Maybe for the parents will be their children. But my brothers and sisters, as Christians, that we are called, our life should be dedicated to God and God only. Amen? Because when we dedicate our life to God, the rest comes along with it. So my call and my appeal to you this morning is for all of us to dedicate a life to God. Let me invite you to your Bibles. Let's go to our Bibles. And let's go back to our call to worship, which is in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. But before we open this, or before we start reading, let's ask the Spirit of discernment to help us, to give us the power so that we could understand this message this morning. So let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you with humble hearts, knowing, Lord, that you are the only one who could cleanse us. Father, as we open the Holy Scripture, we want to ask, Lord, that it is the Holy Spirit that will give us the discernment, that it is through the power of the Holy Spirit that we concentrate in you, in your words, this very moment, so that we could understand, Father, what you have for us, so that we could receive the blessings that come from the Scripture. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There is a lot of translations, as you know, within Bibles. And I'm going to read the translation from that English version, okay, where it says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You know, human history, I will say, is divided in two eras. We have the BC and we have the AD, right? We have before Christ and we have what? After Christ. And nonetheless, the story of our life resembles that too, because there is what you wore before you met Christ, and there is what you are or what you have become now that you have met Christ. So there is those two stories. There is those two eras. Even in our Christian life, even in our path with our God, there is the life that we had before Christ, and there is the life now that we have, now that we know Christ. So, in our life, we all want to prove, or we all want to improve, right? Do you want to improve your life? Do you want to have a better life? That's what everyone wants, right? Everybody wants to be better and better every day. And that's also the Christian life. We want to do better. We want to be better day by day. And that's why everyone here in the United States spend billions of dollars on products, books, seminars, and whatever they might think that will help them to improve their life. But guess what? They realize that nothing works. None of those things work. But there is one thing that everybody realizes that is effective, that actually works. And that is what? That is the Bible. That is the Word of God. That actually works, my brothers and sisters. It does work. If you want to improve your life, if you want to do better And if you want to, in a way, resemble your life that was before Christ and now with Christ, and you want to see what the difference is, I will encourage you to study the Word of God. Because it is the Word of God that will teach you. It is the Word of God that will actually show you what you could improve in your life. Amen? It's the only way or the only thing that we need to do better is to spend time in the Word of God. Now, if you are on your way to heaven, are you on your way to heaven? Are you on your path, on your road to heaven? I think that's the common denominator from everyone, right? The Christian. The most common thing for all of us is that we all want to go to heaven. Amen? I want to go to heaven. But in order for us to have our way to heaven, we need to live a life dedicated to God. We need to live a life dedicated to God. And this is what Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2 teach us. It shows us how. How is that possible? How can we do it? So let's go back. What Paul says in Romans 12, 1. He said, I appeal to you before, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Now, with all the translation, there is one thing that all the translations include. And that is the word brothers. So that means that actually Paul was appealing to a certain group of people. Who do you call brother? Who do you call sister? Huh? Brothers and sisters in Christ, right? So you call those that are in the same faith. Amen? So you call brother, you call sister, those that are actually share the same faith. And that faith is in whom? In Jesus. So Paul is addressing to his brothers and sisters in Christ. And he's telling them, I appeal to you by the mercies of God to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Now, it is very important for us to understand this appeal, okay? Because, believe it or not, this is one of the golden verse of the Bible. Because this is, if it's one verse of the Bible that will teach you and show you how can you live a life dedicated to God, this is it. This is the one. This is the very text that you could find in the Bible. So how? How can we live a life dedicated to God? The first thing that we learn is that in order for us to live a life dedicated to God, first we need to live a life of gratitude. What is gratitude to you? Huh? Because Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. So this is the proper motivation for a Christian devotion. All right? The Christian does not live for God in the hope of receiving something from God, but instead, the Christian lives for God in gratitude for what God has already done in their life. Amen? So you don't live, in other words, in gratitude to God for what He is going to do for you. You don't. Because you don't live, or you don't do things, or you don't dedicate your life to the Lord in order to receive something. Because your life, my brothers, should be a living gratitude to what God has already done for you. So what Paul is actually telling us is, and he's actually exhorting us, and he's actually encouraging us to live for God in every way possible. Amen? That is a life dedicated to God. That everything that you do resembles God, in other words. That everything that you do will be in harmony with God. So, this is a call for those who have faith in Jesus, because the presentation of your body as a living sacrifice is only holy and acceptable to God if you are a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ. That's why Paul appealed to his brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, my question to you is, are you a child of the Lord? Are you? Have you acknowledged your sinfulness and inability to save yourself? Have you put your trust in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose from the dead for your salvation? Have you recognized that? Have you recognized that it was Jesus that died on the cross and it wasn't you? Because he took your place. Because it was you. It was me that needed to die on that cross. But do we recognize that? That it was Jesus that took our place. And if not, my brothers and sisters, I would encourage you, by the mercies of the Lord, that it is for us to recognize that everything that we do, it is because God had already done that for us. Amen? God had already done it for all of us. So you must receive God's mercy before you can present your body in sacrifice to the Lord. So you need to commit yourself to the Lord. You have to give up. You have to surrender. You have to give everything you have in order to live a life dedicated to the Lord. I appeal to you before, brothers, by the mercies of God. See, you see, sinners are declared righteous before God by divine mercy and human merit. Mercy is often defined by comparing to the grace of God. Amen? Because our reward is not because of all our merits. Our reward is not because of all the things that we do. Our reward is because of the grace of the Lord. Amen? Because of his love. Because of the grace that he has for all of us. That's why we're going to be rewarded for. Not for the things that we do. Unrighteous people deserve divine wrath. Yes or no? They do. But those who represent, or those who actually repent of their sins and run to the cross, receive divine mercy. Saving mercy is so great. This is the basis of God's altar call, to live a dedicated life to God in gratitude for sparing mercy. Now, Paul continues saying in that very verse of Romans chapter 12, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Now, what Paul is actually saying here is that we are to offer our bodies as living sacrifice. So what does that mean? We are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. You see, sinners under the wrath of God dishonor their bodies, right? When people are not in Christ, they do whatever. Right? They do whatever. So, but sinners who have received the mercy of God present their body as a living sacrifice. This is about more than skin and bones, okay? It is one's whole being. We are to offer all that we have to the Lord. Amen? Everything. Not just 1 hour or 2 hours of devotion. Not just the Saturday that we come here to worship the Lord. Not just a few minutes every morning in prayer. Not just a thankful prayer for the meal that we received. Not just a thankful prayer in the evening because God has protected us. And we would like to ask Him to protect us during our sleep. No, my brothers and sisters. A sacrifice body or a sacrifice life dedicated to the Lord means that everything that you do, but every breath and every single thinking and every single move and every single decision is to honor God in every way possible. Amen? That's what it means. And our bodies are the instrument to do that. Romans chapter 6, verse 13 says, "Do not present your members to sin as instrument for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instrument of righteousness." Now, the picture actually that we have here comes from the Old Testament. Okay? There were two kinds of sacrifice that we know in the Old Testament. One was that atonement, and the other one was for thanksgiving, right? There was a ceremony of sacrificial for atonement, and there was a ceremony of sacrificial for what? For thanksgiving. But we do not need to make the sacrifice of atonement any longer. Why? Because Jesus paid it all. Amen? Jesus paid for all of that atonement. So that's why we don't need to bring a sacrifice for atonement, but we, in thanksgiving, to be thankful in gratitude for that, we are now the sacrifice. Amen? Now we are to present ourselves as a sacrifice for that atonement, for that Jesus had paid already on the cross. But God still wants an offering of thanksgiving. Amen? In praise to God, we are to present our bodies as sacrifice to God. This is the difference Jesus makes. In the Old Testament, the worshiper brought a sacrifice. In the New Testament, the worshiper becomes that sacrifice. God does not want something from you. He doesn't want something from you, my brothers and sisters. He wants you. That's what He wants. He doesn't want something from you. He wants you. What does this mean to live a life or living a sacrifice life? To be a living sacrifice is to be holy. Amen? The word holy means to be separate. It is to be set apart for a special purpose. It is a life of consecration. This holy sacrifice is initially cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and it is continually cleansed by the power of the Word of God. Psalms 119 says in verse 9, "How can a young man keep his way pure?" And the answer that the Scripture gives in the same passage is by guarding it according to your Word. To the Holy Word, to the Word of God, to the Scripture. That is the only way. Amen? So the living sacrifice has to be accepted by God. Yes? Does God have to accept that living sacrifice? He does. It is an acceptable sacrifice to God. Now, if you remember in Genesis chapter 4, do you remember that account of the two brothers? Okay, Cain and Abel. Do you remember the story? All right. Abel gave an offering to God, right? They both gave actually an offering to God. Cain offered from the fruit of the group, and Abel offered from his flock of sheep. Abel's offering was accepted, but Cain's offering was not accepted. So this is the first lesson of worship that we need to learn in order for us to have a dedicated life to the Lord. To bring a living or a thanksgiving offering to God. It must be acceptable to God. No defiled offering was acceptable to God. It had to be only holy so that it would be so that God could accept that offering. This is the life of devotion that you and I must live in order for God to accept us as a living sacrifice. Amen. That's the only way, my brothers and sisters, that we could be approved. If we are to be called true worshipers or true worshipers of the Lord, we are to sacrifice or to live a life dedicated to God. Now, religious rituals do not impress God. Did you know that? You know our program doesn't impress God? Did you know that? It doesn't. It does not. It is your lifestyle that actually impresses the Lord. Amen? It is how you live. It is how you conduct yourself. It is how you serve the Lord. It is how you represent Christ in your life. Or it is how you imitate Jesus in your life. It is how other people see Jesus in your life that actually impress the Lord. Amen? So that's why it's important to dedicate it to God. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 and 16 says, through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge in his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. So what God gives you is what you need to share with others. That's what God impressed. That's what God is impressed about us, my brothers and sisters. What we have, what God has given us, we are to share with others in sacrifice to please God. So a devoted life to God is a life of worship with lips that praise and hands that serves. Amen? That's what it's all about, my brothers and sisters. Now let's go back to Romans chapter 12. Now, we just spend a few minutes in verse 1. Let's see what verse 2 have to say. Okay? So let's go back to Romans chapter 12. Now let's read in chapter 12, verse 2. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, when Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, Paul actually presents the world here as a key threat to our attempt to live a devoted life to God. Why? Because look around you. Look what this world presents to you. This world is all about discouragement. This world is all about distraction. This world is all about things that will keep you away from God. Isn't that what this world is all about? That's what it is. So this world where we live is a battleground. We're constantly fighting because we are at war, my brothers and sisters. We are at war with everything that this world presents to us. The prince of this world, who is Satan, won't stop defiling people until he devours them. But who will stand at the end? Only those true worshipers. Only those that dedicate their life to God. You see, there is a reason why Enoch was taken to heaven. Because Enoch, for more than 300 and something years, he dedicated his life to whom? To God. Because the Bible says in Genesis that Enoch walked with God every single day, every single moment. He walked with the Lord. He dedicated himself to God. And that's why God took him to heaven. Amen? So can you do the same? Can I do the same? Can you walk with God every day of your life? Can you dedicate your life to God? Of course we could do it, my brothers and sisters. We could actually do it. But the only way to do it is if we resist the temptations of this world. If we abandon all this, the things that this world gives us. I know it's not easy. It's not easy to abandon all those things, especially with those things that we're accustomed to. It's not easy. But that's the only way, my brothers and sisters. If your path, if your road is to heaven, you need to leave everything behind. Amen? And that includes this world. And that includes everything that this world offers. We are not to let the world around us squeeze us into our own mold. This is why we need to be transformed with the renewal of our minds. The word transform translates the Greek word from which we get that term metamorphosis or metamorphosis. Okay? It is the process of a caterpillar transforming into a butterfly. It is a change from the emphasis out, in other words. So the word is used in Matthew chapter 17, verse 2, and it's also used in Mark chapter 9, verse 2, for the transfiguration of Jesus when his divine glory shines through his human flesh. This is what God wants to happen in your life. He does not want you to be pressured into lifting or feeding in this world that will not allow you to shine. But it is asking you to live a life that only Jesus could shine. Amen? That's why we are called the light of the world. And the only way that we could shine is if Jesus lived in our life. The only way that we could shine, the only way that we could actually show people that Jesus lives in our life is if our life is transformed by the blood of Jesus. There is no other way. How can you be transformed? Yes. You could be looking, right? There's a lot of things that this world offers. If you want to look better, okay, you could do plastic surgery, yeah? Physically, if you want to look better, okay? If you want to look skinny, right? If you don't want to look shabby any longer, you could do a surgery, right? Or you could go into this program, diet programs. But are those permanent? Solutions? No, my brothers and sisters. The only transformation that is needed in your life, as a Christian is the transformation done by Christ. Because when you are transformed, you see with the eyes of Jesus. You don't see no flaws. You don't see no errors. You don't see no mistake. You don't see something imperfect. You see perfection in Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's what we need. He wants the indwelling presence of the life-giver King to change you from the inside out. That's what we need, my brothers. That change. Look what 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 18 says. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. But how does this spiritual transformation take place in your life? Paul says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. You are transformed into the image of Christ as your mind is renewed. Amen? You cannot live a devoted life to God if you do not think like Jesus. You must change the way you think. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about those things. So in order for us to renew and to transform and to renew our minds, my brothers and sisters, is to always, constantly thinking about those things that honor Jesus Christ. Amen? And what are those things, my brothers and sisters? Those things in the Bible. Those things that we are to live by. Those are the only things that we need to be thinking. And if I want to summarize those things, it is the love of Christ. It is the love of God that we need to be thinking of every day in our life. Amen? This should be the spiritual rating for our life, my brothers and sisters. So I don't know. I don't know what kind of music you hear. I don't know the kind of books. I don't know the kind of magazines that you read. I don't know what kind of TV shows. I don't know what kind of movies you watch. I don't know the pleasures that you enjoy. And I don't even know the places that you attend. But if it's one thing that I know, my brothers and sisters, if you want to please God with whatever you do, if you want to renew your mind spiritually, and if you want to be transformed, everything that you do, do everything that pleases the Lord. Amen? Everything that honors God, the music that honors God, the books that honors God, the magazines that honor God, the TV shows that honor God, the movies that honor God, the places that honor God, those things are the ones that you should be thinking of. Amen? Everything that honors the Lord. Some of us are trying to discern God's will, right? We're all trying to figure it out what God's will is all about. Yes? Have you figured it out yet? What God's will is? Have you figured out what God's will in your life is all about? But you cannot make up your mind until your mind is changed. You're not going to be able to see the will of God unless your thoughts, your minds are only thinking about God. You will never find it. Your mind must be renewed because you can affirm that the will of God is good, acceptable, and is perfect. God's will is good. It is good by nature. Amen? It is good in its ways, and it is good in its results. And if you do God's will, it is good even when it looks bad. So sometimes when we devote ourselves, sometimes we think, right, that whatever God's will is, we don't like it. But even though that it might look good, and even though that it might look bad through our eyes, and if it's something that is going to honor the Lord, guess what? It's going to be good and perfect for Him. Amen. I don't know what things you don't like to do. I don't know if it is that you don't have the will to share the gospel with others. I don't know if it is that you don't like to spend time reading the Holy Scripture. I don't know if it is that you don't want to spend time in prayer. I don't know if you don't like to serve God. I don't know if you don't like to come to church. I don't know if you don't like to worship. Or I don't know if you don't like to fellowship with one another. But those are the kind of things that pleases the Lord. Amen? And those are the kind of things that are acceptable to God. Your mind has to be renewed to get to a point that says, Lord, I don't like this, but if it pleases you, I will do it. God's will is perfect, my brothers and sisters. There is nothing better than knowing and doing the will of God. So therefore, my brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, I urge you to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. May God, in His mercy, help you so that you could dedicate a life that is pleasing to God. Amen.